Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text Number 1. Chapter of each arrest of his home.
Sutta Uvacha,
Sutta Uvacha,
Durasya Tayatraya,
Durasya Tayatraya,
Maitreya Atmano Vatim,
Maitreya Atmano Vatim,
Tiat Vada Dasin Apuram,
Tiat Vada Dasin Apuram,
Taya Vokta Vivitsita,
Taya Vokta Vivitsita,
Sutta Uvacha,
Durasthita
yatrayam,
Durasthita yatrayam,
Maitreya atmano gatim,
Maitreya atmano gatim,
Yatvadadasthina puram,
Yatvadadasthina puram,
Daya bhakta vivitsita,
Daya bhakta vivitsita,
Sutta vacha,
Sutta vacha,
Durasthita yatrayam,
Durasthita yatrayam,
while traveling to different places of pilgrimage.
Maitreya,
Maitreya,
from the great sage Maitreya,
from the great sage Maitreya,
Atmana,
Atmana,
of the self,
self,
Gatim,
Gatim,
destination,
destination,
Gyanpa,
Gyanpa,
by knowing it,
by knowing it,
Agat,
Agat,
went back,
went back,
Hastinapuram,
Hastinapuram,
the city of Hastinapur,
city of Hastinapur.
Taya,
Taya,
by that knowledge,
by that knowledge,
Avakta,
Avakta,
sufficiently again,
sufficiently again,
Vivitsita,
Vivitsita,
being well versed in everything noble,
being well versed in everything noble.
Translation. Sri Yukta Goswami said, while traveling on a pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya, and then returned to Hastinapur. He became as well versed in the subject as he desired. Response is, Sri Yukta Goswami said,
Sri Yukta Goswami said,
while traveling on a pilgrimage,
while traveling on a pilgrimage,
Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self. From the great sage Maitreya. And then he returned to Hastinapur. He became as well versed in the subject as he desired. One of the prominent figures in the history of the Mahabharata. He was conceived by Vyasadev in the womb of the maidservant of Ambika, mother of Maharaj Pandu. He is the incarnation of Yamaraj. Being cursed by Madhuka Muni, he was become a Shudra. The story is narrated as follows. Once upon a time, the state police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in the hermitage of Madhuka Muni. The police constables, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Madhuka Muni along with them. The magistrate specifically punished the Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. When he was just to be pierced, the news reached the king, and he at once stopped the act on consideration of his being a great Muni. The king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj,
who prescribes the destiny of the living beings.
Yamaraj, being questioned by the moon, replied that the moon in his childhood pierced an ant with a sharpened straw, and for that reason he was put into difficulty. The Muni thought it unwise on the part of Yamaraj that he was punished for his childish innocence, and thus the Muni cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. And the Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj was known as Vidura, the Shudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandu. But this Shudra son of the Kuru dynasty was equally treated by Bhishmadev along with his other nephews. And in due course, Vidura was married with a girl who was also born in the womb of a Shudrani by a Brahmana. Although Vidura did not inherit the property of his father, the brother of Bhishmadev, still he was given a sufficient state. He was given sufficient state property by Dhritarashtra, the elder brother of Vidura. Vidura was very much attached to his old elder brother, and all along he tried to guide him on the right path. During the fratricidal war of Kurukshetra, Vidura repeatedly implored his older brother to do justice to the sons of Pandu, but Duryodhana did not like such interference by his uncle, and thus he practically insulted Vidura. This resulted in Vidura's leaving home for pilgrimage and taking instructions from Maitreya. Om Ajnana Sinanikasya, Dhamma Shalakaya Shakshu, Namita Mira Tesla, Shri Guruve Namaha, Shri Jaitanya Manavi Sam Sabi Tanira Mutale, Swami Prabhupada Yayam, Yahaji Sam Gandhika. Mukham Kuru Tavashi and Kuru Mandate, the Kuyakita, and Shri Guru Vinitamina, Vaisha Kalpa Kurvisha, Kripati Guruve Vachatri, Patitanam Pavane, the old Vaishnava. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so the title of this chapter is Sri Chaitanya Quitting Home. So we've been just hearing about the birth of Emperor Pinakshit in the previous chapter, and how his forefathers, how his family lineage came about, and how they were performing different rituals and different ceremonies to welcome this child, Parikshit. So alongside with that, not only were we hearing about the glories of Maharaj Parikshit, but we're also hearing the glories of Yudhisthira and Maharaj, his brothers, entire family lineage of the Pandavas, and how Krishna had such an affectionate relationship with all of them. Now in the beginning of this 13th chapter, we'll continue also to hear about the different members of this dynasty. We'll hear about more about Dhritarashtra, his wife Gandhari. We'll hear, as the Prabhupada is mentioning, about the birth of Mahatma Vidura. And as Prabhupada is pointing out, that it came as a result of a curse by Mandaka Muni that Yamaraj would come in a Shudra body, and that Shudra body of course was the body of Vidura. And as the story goes along in the Mahabharata, we understand that during the battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra somehow or the other insulted Mahatma Vidura, and Vidura, using that situation, traveled to the different holy places. And he was hearing from exalted personalities, specifically hearing from Maitreya Muni. So here in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, we heard about Vidura taking birth in the womb of the Shudra mother, Nonetheless, he was qualified. He was always treated with great respect by the Pandava brothers, as we'll hear later on how they received him after he traveled to the different holy places. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Arjuna, everyone else welcomed him. They gave him a wonderful reception, and they were asking him how his travels went, how he maintained himself. They were asking him so many different questions. And Prabhupada mentions in these purports that the etiquette of how one should treat a friend, even an enemy, when they come to his home. Of course, in the age of Kali, this is a very difficult type of etiquette to follow, because it is based on high principles. It is based on religious codes. So in the age of Kali, even our so-called friend in an instant can become our enemy, and we treat them accordingly. So this creating friends, creating enemies, is a resultant of contaminated consciousness. That one sees one as a friend because they can derive great pleasure and satisfaction from that relationship, and then one sees one as an enemy because that person prohibits or puts limitations on their sense enjoyment. Therefore, we call such persons enemies. But in the Vedic tradition, one would treat an enemy, a friend, equally if they would come to his home. And we see this with how the battle of Kurukshetra was conducted. In the evening times, they would go to each other's camps, and they would eat with one another and converse with one another. But during the day, they were on the battlefield. And in these days, this is not seen. If you're an enemy, you're an enemy, you stay away. There is no talks, no civil talks, no maintenance of respect. Once one is an enemy, they are to be banished alongside anyone that they might encounter or anyone that they might be in association with. We see this a lot, for example, in different countries around the world where people have had mass uprisings or coups or different strikes, revolutions, etc. In some countries in Africa, in Central Africa, when they want to remove a dictator or anyone really from their post in government, they annihilate their entire family, even though they have nothing to do with the politics, even though they themselves are not implicated, yet somehow or the other, because they just have that person in their family, the entire family is wiped out by the opposing element. So this is what it means in Kali Yuga to have a friend and an enemy. One day you're fine, and then the next day you get removed because you infringe upon someone else's sense enjoyment, gross or subtle. So this is the extent to which Kali Yuga has come about. What we can learn, as Prabhupada mentions, in the purport, the quality of Vidura, although he was treated so unjustly by his brother, yet somehow or the other he continued to try and give him guidance. Vidura understanding that Dhritarashtra had a soft spot for his son, specifically Duryodhan, who was the chief amongst the culprits. Vidura was trying to advise Dhritarashtra how not to give in to the demonic tendencies of his son, but due to attachment to his son, Dhritarashtra could not cut off that affection, and therefore he was not listening to the advice given by Vidura. And only later on he realized the value of that advice, because after the sharp words spoken by Dhritarashtra to Vidura, Vidura left and went on pilgrimage. And while he was on that pilgrimage, the value of his association was greatly felt by both parties, by both sides of the dynasty. And Vidura was mainly showing how to, especially to Dhritarashtra, cutting off family ties, attachment to family, to wife, to children, relatives, etc. This is why he instantaneously dropped his bow, he dropped his weapon, and he just left. He went traveling to the different holy places. So while he was traveling these different holy places, his main focus was to try and understand what the summum bonum of life is. He was hearing from the great sages about the summum bonum of life, transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this Govinda or Krishna, he satisfies all the desires of his devotees. But while we're in material condition, or while we're in a maturely inflicted state, we cannot actually understand how we're being affected by material existence. And material existence makes us think that we are powerful by ourselves. So we do not need anyone's advice, we do not need any guidance, we can do it by ourselves. And therefore one tries to seek happiness by employing their senses in the modes of material nature, in their gross and in their subtle aspect. But as you see from time and time again, this does not satisfy the jiva, this doesn't satisfy the soul. The soul can only be satisfied by reconnecting with its non-material source, Krishna. Now, Krishna explains that we are just fragmental parts and parcels of Him. And we understand from a philosophical point of view that when Krishna comes, when Krishna descends, He doesn't need to transform His body to suit the material environment. Krishna comes as He is in His original transcendental form. He's above the modes, He's nirguna, He's above the gunas, the three modes of material nature. But the living entity, because he is dependent on Krishna, he cannot by himself actually control the modes of material nature. He can be empowered to help in the administration of the modes of material nature, as we have the guna avatars, and only specific beings are given that post. But for the innumerable living entities in the different universes, they are eternally parts and parcels of Krishna, eternal servants of Krishna. So their role can actually never be switched. We can actually never become master of the modes of material nature. So whether we're performing food activities or driving so-called speculation, or karmic activities, these can't actually give pleasure to the soul. These cause hindrance and frustration to the living entity. I was reading in the Harinam Chintamani, the last offense, maintaining mature attachments, even after understanding so many elaborate instructions and purpose about mature attachments and what they do. Prabhupada and he stresses that in so many different fields of life, whether it's anthropology, whether it's Scientology, whether it's so many different zoology, you name it, any type of science, Prabhupada said it's not that it is not knowledge or it is condemned to try and understand, but Prabhupada says if the consciousness of the individual living entity sees that as separate from Krishna, then Prabhupada says, and that is a foolish mentality. When we create a separatist mentality, we get contaminated because we're trying to cut ourselves off from Krishna, which is not possible eternally. Even if you try and buy for Brahman realization, you cannot be situated there eternally. The eternal situation of the living entity is to serve Krishna. And this comes by the processes given by the acharyas, the Shravana, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smarana process, the nine processes of devotional service, which help us understand that the sum and bonum of life is Krishna. And once you understand, and once you know Krishna, you actually know everything in existence. So we need not separately try to endeavor for trying to understand measure by itself, independently, trying to understand the universe by itself, so many different aspects, but we have to understand it in relationship to Krishna. And failure to do so results in a contaminated material consciousness of I and mine. Then you start thinking, I discovered America, I discovered the law of gravity, I discovered E equals MC squared, I discovered this. So we're not actually admitting that Krishna is Bhaktaramya Yatapasam Sabhavakamaheshwara. The I and mind mentality actually produces a material consciousness, a desire for material sense gratification. And once that is there, that prohibits the authority of Krishna and his representatives. And if we know it all materially, why? If we have the answers, if we figure out the laws of gravity or velocity, etc., why would we want to approach God because we figured it out ourselves? So it means we annihilate the authority of Krishna because our mind or intelligence has figured out this law of velocity, this law of Newton, this law of gravity. Therefore we reject Krishna, and we reject Krishna's representatives. We are trying to push forward the understanding that both matter and spirit are coming from Krishna, and he's the controller of both. Now this is a materially afflicted situation. So Vidura travels to the holy place, and he hears from the great devotees, he hears from the great sages about the sum and bonum of life, Krishna. And they stress that by understanding Krishna, actually he will know everything, he will understand everything. So when we travel to holy places, when we come to this temple, or when we go to the abode of Jagannath Puri or Shivanavandam, we should understand the move that we go there with is to actually go and hear from advanced devotees. Not that we just go there to socialize, see devotees you haven't seen in 10 years. I mean, it's nice. That doesn't happen automatically. You sit down and have prasadam. You see your friend from 10 years ago that you joined the temple with. You have some Krishna katha. That is nice. That is devotional association. But we shouldn't lose sight of the focus that to go to the holy places, we are going there to seek the nectar of hearing about Krishna from especially the advanced devotees who reside in that holy place. So the sole purpose of actually going to a holy place is to fall at the lotus feet of the devotees. And the devotees are understood as, you know, Tirthapad. Well, not Tirthapad Das, but the devotees who reside in the holy places, they are walking places of pilgrimage, and we reside at the feet to hear the pastimes of Krishna. So everything in Krishna culminates in the devotee's existence in the devotee's heart. So when we associate with the advanced devotees in the holy places, we go and hear about the Samadhanam, the goal of life, which is Krishna and his activities. So this is the best way to actually alleviate our diseased state. Now this diseased state, of course, is coming about due to ignorance, attachment to the body, I and mind, etc. The false ego, the ahankar principle, which makes us really forget about Krishna. Everyone is in a state of forgetfulness. And the process of bhakti helps one revive their dormant Krishna consciousness. And for us to be able to be proper recipients of bhakti, we have to have qualification. So here the qualification, of course, Vidura, socially he was from a Sudra mother, but he was very qualified spiritually. Therefore we do not judge the advancement of a devotee based on the background or the family he comes from. Yesterday we were hearing about the fallacy of the caste Brahmanas, how one is a Brahmana by birth. And Prabhupada at the beginning of the Bhagavatam explains that Kali Yuga really began when the Brahmanas became proud and contaminated, thinking that they are Brahmanas by birth, they are powerful, everyone else is less. Of course, this was
emanated from a young boy Shrinki. Nevertheless, Prabhupada says this is the demise of Kali Yuga, that the Brahmanas see themselves as Brahmanas just by birth. And Prabhupada explained it is not by our janma, it is by our karma activities. We have to shine out the qualities of a Brahmana. So Vidura was very much qualified on a spiritual platform, although socially he was born of a Shudra mother. So for us, we should also have that understanding that it is not spiritual advancement, it is not due to our social circumstance. What last name do you have? What family do you come from? This is all not seen as anvas of bhakti. No, bhakti causes it by the causeless mercy of Krishna and his devotees. So for us to become proper recipients, we have to expose ourselves and engage our senses in the service of Krishna. So Pallava Arvind mentions the nine processes of bhakti, shrana, kirtana, Vishnu, smarana. He mentions it for all types of living entities, not for specific jivas. And just as, you know, in sometimes in Ayurveda, before they actually give you the medicine or before they give you treatment, they prepare your body. Right, so you take certain things and they give you purgatives. They prepare the body for the medicine to be able to act properly. So in the process of devotional service, you know, our existence becomes prepared to be able to be proper recipients of Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna's mercy is everywhere. We see every day some people come to the temple, they look at Krishna, they do their thing, obeisances, and then they walk out. And then someone else comes to Krishna and you can see there's much more faith, there's much more devotion, because they've been properly purified by the hearing and chanting process. So their bodies have become susceptible to absorbing the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. Whereas some people, they have not been properly purified to be able to hear about Krishna. Therefore they come in and out, hear the kirtan, and devotees are jumping up and down, running from here to there, and they're just thinking, oh yeah, that's okay. They don't understand the transcendental nature of devotional service. So the process of Shranam Kirtan, the nine processes of bhakti, are meant to prepare our body, are meant to prepare our existence to be able to receive Krishna's mercy. So the spiritual master provides for an inquisitive soul the opportunity to be able to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. Just like Vidura was, we'll see how Vidura was constantly questioned by Trayamuni about the activities of the Supreme Lord. And the more Vidura would hear, the more he'd go into transcendental ecstasy. So the point is that in bhakti, when one inquires from the spiritual master, it's not that we're going to inquire directly about Krishna's Rasa Lila. It's not that we're going to inquire about what Krishna does at midnight in the forest with the gopis. The spiritual master first works by removing our impersonalism, removing our fruited mentality, removing our mental speculation by engaging us in devotional service, by taking shelter of the Guru Sadhana Shastra. So all our mental speculation has to go. All our fruited mentality has to go. We're performing bhakti for the pleasure of Krishna. Not for my pleasure, and Krishna can have a little bit. But bhakti, even as sadhakas, as practitioners, we should train our consciousness that this is for Krishna's pleasure. Now, one might object, well, that is for the Paramahansas in the Bhagavatam. I'm still a struggling neophyte. How can I offer everything to Krishna? Unconditioned. I'm, you know, all the excuses that are there. No, they're not new. They've been posed, they've been put forward by so many people already in the past. But it is possible, even in our neophyte stage, to train our consciousness to try and have that consciousness for the pleasure of Krishna. You might not necessarily like doing something or be expert in a certain activity, but the success of our devotional service is our sincere endeavor to perform that service in a pleasing way to Krishna. So of course, persons like Jarasandha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Pundarik, of course they were meditating on Krishna, but in a different way. And wasn't that pleasing to Krishna? Whereas the devotees that Prabhupada mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, you know, the wives of the brahmanas, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, they perform their devotional service, and Krishna really is the center. And this comes through training the mind and allowing ourselves to receive Krishna's mercy, because it is there for everyone. So we should, in the process of devotional service, we approach the spiritual master to make positive inquiries about how to make advancement in spiritual life, the type of advancement that is free from karma, jnana, and mental speculation. Now these type of inquiries should enhance our bhakti. This is why we seek out the association. Not that we approach them, the first thing we do is, as Kanamakana Maharaj would say, you know, I need a wife, I need a husband. That is not why you approach a sadhu. You approach a sadhu to hear how you can advance spiritually. And the best place to do that, of course, when you're in the holy land of Vrindavan or Puri, or wherever they are, because they carry that auspicious environment within them, and they are always conversing about Krishna, then they can enlighten us how best to serve Krishna. And they'll always ask us, there's a few devotees that I hear, the spiritual masters always ask them, is Krishna pleased with your service? That's the first thing that they'll always ask, are you pleasing Krishna? Are the devotees happy with you? So we should inquire to the advanced souls how to make progress in bhakti. And our progress in bhakti is pleasing Krishna's senses, pleasing the devotees who are engaging us in Krishna's service. So this is just the beginning of Dhritarashtra's journey to leave home. And we'll hear about how what Vidura did when he left, traveling to different holy places, how he was received by the Pandavas, and etc. So it is a wonderful example for us to use and improve our inquisitive nature about spiritual subject matters, what type of topics we should inquire about. I'll stop and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Can you remember offhand any of the questions that you were
asked? He asked what the sum and bonum of life is. There's a whole section about later on, but you know the Bhagavatam is sometimes not so chronological. So we'll hear a conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And we'll see the question that he asked while he was traveling. But it was all pertaining to the activities of Krishna.
Is Jai punishable for this? Is Jai
child?
Children punishable for their sinful
activity? To the age of 5, no. Their parents take their all those directions. But after 5, yes. So sometimes we hear, and someone asked me this, I think it was at Urban Yoga on Tuesday, we were speaking about maintaining material attachments of I and mine. If we don't, because I was saying, even if the offense is, even if after you understand these instructions, you're still committing offenses. So we're really trying not to commit them, but we are, but we're trying. Should we get punished because we're trying? And I said, yeah, you're going to get punished, even though you're trying, but if you're not stopping your offense, we get a reaction for it. So he had said that, you know, this, in the Prabhupada explains how when he was young, he pierced an ant with a sharpened straw. I think, you know, kids must be kids, but if you take a material situation, if you take a existence in the material world, you know, there's danger at every step. So you are bound to offend someone, there's bound to be a reaction. Karma acts on this planet. So after the age of 5, you get a reaction. So we shouldn't wish that we were below 5 years old. We should just desire that we don't offend Krishna and his devotees. And you can easily do that. It's Prabhupada's simply nectar instruction. Once we control the tongue, the senses, we control the mind with our words, with our speech, with our entire body, with our consciousness, we cannot accrue sinful reactions. So we can get off the cycle of karma by practicing bhakti. Okay, thank you very much, Mantra Shimad Bhagavatam.